Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
So, you can turn with us tonight if you like as you prepare, as we're going to read from Psalms 27 again. Same chapter I read from Sunday morning, but I'm going to finish what I started. It'll be a different topic or theme, but as you're getting ready, I thought Justin was going to tell it, but I'll tell it to you. But I remember as I was sitting there in Edgewood Church that morning, right where Justin's sitting now, but there, and he was standing right up here in the middle of the mourner's bench in front of it by himself. Now, exactly why he was by himself, I don't recall. But he was singing that song, Trust and Obey. And the most wondrous thing took place. And I got to see it because he was standing right there in front of me. Right? He wasn't in the back being convicted. He was standing in front of everyone in the building as God convicted him. We all got to witness what happened to him. I'll never forget it. As he sung that song, and then the next thing you know, he was weeping and shaking. Then he just turned around and went in. Got to see that. The same thing happened to me. You know, just so everybody was looking at me. I'm glad that being born again is a transformation that is spiritual. If all that took place was some kind of change superficially, then there wouldn't be anything to it. And I certainly wouldn't be here tonight. But the change that I received was on the inside. Amen. And that made all the difference in the world.
Right.
Psalms chapter number 27. Beginning at verse number 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me the way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Father, open your word to us. We're but clay. Use us now as an instrument, a trumpet that would declare this truth. May there be a boldness and a clarity. May it affect every heart. May it pierce where needed. We're trusting you in this, as we've nothing to offer but a voice. Hear us humbly as we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen. Sunday morning we shared, at least in part, as we spoke of the psalmist being confident, therefore declaring that he had no reason to fear. I want to share with you the rest of that chapter and expound more on his confidence. I think we're going to be challenged as we go forward, regardless of what takes place in an election, regardless of which way we go. There's a spiritual problem, and an election won't fix that. So that's not ultimately the answer, and so don't let yourself be troubled over that. Specifically, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, he said, believe in me. I believe there's a great importance for the church to be confident, to know what we believe, and with a surety to share it. Because as it gets darker around us spiritually, the light will become more important.
Right.
And it will be more visible. You see, the darker it is, the less light it takes to make a difference. As the darkness seems to encroach, one might think that it overshadows the light, but it cannot, you see. Darkness never, ever will have power over light. Does that encourage you? That encourages me. Because the light that has shined in my soul cannot be extinguished. It cannot be extinguished. I can allow it to be diminished. There are times that I can purposefully or voluntarily put it in a place where it is not as visible as it should be. But the light in my soul is unextinguishable. I'm encouraged because Christ is never out of control. If you read the heading in most Bibles, it'll have above the chapter, it'll have some kind of inference of what the chapter's about. Mine says a prayer of praise. It was certainly a prayer, but the prayer didn't begin till verse number 7. I don't know if you picked that up. But the prayer itself didn't even start until verse number 7. In the first 6 verses, the psalmist is being very clear that he has something, someone that he is confident in. And as he explains to the reader his confidence, and the reason he is unwilling to be fearful of another, his foes, even his enemies, he shares this confidence, and then in verse number 7, he goes into this prayer. Now in the last 8-9 verses of the chapter that I read to you, there are 3 of the verses that are not part of the prayer. It's a very interesting breakdown here as we look at the last part of this chapter, but it's the difference that I want you to see. Not necessarily the prayer itself. The prayer is important. And the prayer that the psalmist prayed was not unlike a prayer that you and I would pray. A prayer where we beseech God not to leave us. And we call on God to be our help and to support us and to deliver us. And we tell God that we have enemies and we have troubles. And yet it's the part of what he said that wasn't a prayer that I want you to think of. Has anybody ever talked to yourself other than me? There are times when I get to praying that I get distracted. I don't know if that happens to anybody else, but in my prayer time, there are times when I get distracted and I catch myself talking to myself. And I sometimes apologize to the one I was talking to. And yet all the while, I believe he's looking and understands.
Right.
That in the midst of my prayer, there was a thought that overtook my mind. And suddenly, I had to talk to myself about it. Is this getting weird? I want you to see what the psalmist said to himself.
Right.
What meant the world to me when I saw that? I thought, I ain't the only one.
Right,
right in the middle of his prayer,
right,
he quits praying and he says something. The first one is verse number 10. He had just finished, and for context, I'm going to read to you verse number 9. And suggest to you that it was the thought as he prayed it in verse number 9 that triggered in his own mind something that he needed to say, but not directly to God. In verse number 9, he said, "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." And then verse number 10 slips in there and says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." What do you think he was thinking about? I believe going through his mind, just as things go through my little brain sometimes, was the truth.
Right.
That what he was praying would take place.
Right. Amen.
You see, as he prayed this prayer saying, "God, please don't leave me and never forsake me," he realized that God would never do that. Yeah. Isn't it a wonderful thing as you pray the promises of God that your soul begins to rejoice within itself and says, "Yes, that's what will happen because God has promised it."
Right.
Here the psalmist said, "Lord, I'm desperate. I need you to not put me away in anger. Don't leave me nor forsake me." And then he goes and says, "Even if my mother and father forsake me, my God would never forsake me." What a wondrous thing, a truth here, I believe is important for us to see. There ought to be reminders in our lives. Think about this now. I'm encouraging you to talk to yourself. What the apostle said was, is he said, if you're going to dwell on something, he said, dwell on the good things. Amen. Think of these things that are holy and just and pure and lovely and righteous. All of the things that are of God. I'll tell you right now, we need confidence as a church. We need confidence as a people. And when we pray the promises of God, you'll find yourself talking to yourself before it's over. He said, "Lord, don't leave me. Don't forsake me ever." And then it occurred to him, he would never do that. Oh, the promises of God that bring confidence to our soul, that we're able to encourage ourselves even in the times when we feel like we need to be praying in a most desperate way. Oh, what a wondrous thing, as I thought this morning in my prayer time, as I was praying for this country and the condition that it's in, there felt like there needed to be upon me some overwhelming oppression as I prayed this truth. And yet there seemed to be a light that was enlightening me as I prayed on. And before it was over, I was talking to myself again and saying, "My God has never lost control of anything. He knows exactly what he's doing. He will never leave me nor forsake me." I want you to know we can talk our way through the Word of God into confidence.
Yeah.
We don't do it enough. We don't do it enough. How many of you have scriptures taped about? How many of you have reminders? How many of you have those little things that bring to you? I've got those daily devotionals you can get on your phone. About the same time every morning, my phone will ding. And I'll look over that thing and there'll be a scripture there. You know what that scripture reminds me of? The promises of God. And when I read it, you know what I know about it? It's true. Oh, that I could remind myself that whether my mother and father forsook me, God will never forsake me. Amen. In the desperation of his own prayer, as he cried out unto God saying, please don't leave me or ever forsake me. It occurred to him in the same. You say, preacher, how in the world does something occur to you in the middle of a prayer to God? I want you to know there's something that lives inside of me. Amen. That is a being of its own. The third part of the Godhead, and it speaks, brother, to bring you and I into a place of confidence to our God.
Yeah, amen.
He'll never leave me. Oh, when the truth begins to settle in our hearts, it'll create a confidence in us, a courage that we're going to have in these dark days that approach. We're going to need courage as we've never needed it before. You say, I can't do it. Oh, but we can. You say, how do you know? Because my strength is not in myself. You see, he done prayed that part. We already talked about that in the first half of it. He said, his strength is in me. That's what gives me the courage. That's what gives me the direction, the confidence to go forward, is that my God is greater than everything else. Confidence. Praying this prayer. Here he was just praying this prayer to God and pinning this down. And in verse number 10, he just stops and he speaks. He speaks in the third person, right? No longer is it a prayer to God in the first person. But then suddenly the tense changes altogether, and he speaks specifically to himself or to the reader, saying, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Right? But the Lord will never leave me. Then he starts praying again. Right? And that's the most unique thing. But it's just like how I do. Seems like. I don't know about anybody else. But when we really pray and we're seeking God, oh, for those respites in our prayer of when the Holy Spirit and the Word just rises up within us and begins to speak these truths, and it begins to bring this confidence in us. You say, is it stopping the prayer? No, it's part of the prayer, but it's an intimate part of the prayer. It's the part where the Holy Spirit says, yes, you're on it right now. But let me remind you, he can't leave you. He won't forsake you. He'll always be with you. He starts praying again. Right? That's the way it goes. You know, you get caught up and then you realize where you're at, and you start praying again. And here in verse number 11, the psalmist starts praying again. He says, Lord, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Now, that word plain, it means smooth. Lead me in a smooth path because of mine enemies. Now, he was in a predicament. He had enemies. He goes on in verse number 12 and says, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, as such as breathe out cruelty. Here he is explaining the gravity of the situation, the hardness of this thing that he was enduring, the trouble that was in his heart and that was in his mind. Right here he is. He was bowed down in prayer. And then he says, well, the Lord would never leave me. And then he starts praying again, and he starts opening up. See, that's where his fear was at, was his enemy anyway. And he starts praying this prayer again. And then we see it change again. Verse number 13. And as if it just stopped and started in a different tense. In verse number 13, he said, I had fainted. He said, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know what he's being reminded of? The Holy Spirit is reminding him that he had been there before. This wasn't the first time he had had an enemy come against him. This wasn't the first time that he was facing a hard thing. He begins to remember in his mind. Amen. Begins to go back to those times when God had delivered him before. And he says to himself, as he thinks about this, he said, oh, he said, I'd have already given up if I hadn't had hope. hope, if I didn't believe in the power of my God, if I didn't know that my God couldn't be defeated, if I hadn't experienced already Goliath hitting the ground in front of me, if I hadn't seen the lion and the bear and defeated them both, I might have given up. But I ain't given up. I've seen God in His day, and I believe in the land of the living and the hope that there is in this goodness of our God. Oh, what a wondrous confidence that comes to the psalmist. I don't know if I've ever seen anything quite like this, but here he was praying, and then all of a sudden he's not praying anymore. He's just talking to himself seemingly, but he's declaring truth that come not from just, it came from inside him. It was a truth that he knew. It was a truth from the Holy Spirit that bared witness in him. Oh, he said, I would have fainted before when that bear took that lion. I would have given up when that lion came out against that lamb. Oh, when I stood down there and I looked up into the eyes of Goliath, I'd have fainted if it hadn't have been for my God. But he delivered me then, and he'll deliver me now. Oh, and it wonders when prayer turns into praise.
Yeah. Amen.
That's why I believe they titled it, in my Bible at least, A Prayer of Praise. It wasn't because of what he prayed. It was because of when he stopped praying. It immediately turned into truth, declaring his confidence in God. That is praise.
Right.
That is praise. Oh, he said, I'd have fainted if I hadn't had hope before, if I hadn't truly believed in the one who can deliver those that were under the great oppression of all different sorts. He said, I've seen it before, and God's delivered me over and over. Last verse, he's still talking to himself or the reader. And he says this verse, wait on the Lord. This will be the hard part, right? It had come to him in prayer. You say, what? This truth that he shared in verse number 10, this truth he shared in verses 12 and 13 and 14, these truths that he was declaring as a point of praise and his confidence in God. And as he prayed this, and then suddenly he bursts into a praise, and as he declares to whoever can hear him of the wondrous things of God, the reason we shouldn't give up, the reason we should always hope in God. And he finishes it with this, wait on the Lord. Don't give up. See, he was remembering. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you here tonight could say, I've been there. I've been in that hard place. I've been in that dark time. I've been in that place where the enemy, it seemed like, was going to take me down. It seemed like he had already picked out my grave, already determined what was going to happen to me. And then God delivered me.
Yeah.
He said, wait on the Lord. He wasn't praying to God. Right, we can tell by the tense of the sentence itself. It changed from prayer unto a declaration of his own.
Right.
Whether he was talking to himself or he was talking to others, he wanted to be clear about this. He said, listen to me, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. How did he know that? He'd been there. He'd been there. Now, I've never killed a giant. Not really. But they've been some, metaphorically or spiritually speaking. I've killed a few. Right? How many times has fear been a giant in your life? A lying giant that stood 12, 13 feet tall looking down on you saying, you can't do it. Some of you, if you was willing, you'd raise your hand up right now and say, but I did. I waited on the Lord, and the Lord came through. You see, he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. What he told him at the last of the book of Matthew was, said, Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I've got one friend that will never forsake me. No, He'll never forsake me. He'll never leave me. No. The psalmist, I believe, breaks out into praise. He quits praying as he realizes that what he's praying is already settled. What he is asking for has already been determined in heaven. See, God has promised to help me. And he's already promised that he would never leave me nor forsake me. I read in the book of Matthew again this morning where he said, take no thought for your life. He said, what you'll eat, what you drink, what you wear, where you sleep, none of that matters. He said, your Father in heaven's already determined that. He said, he'll provide all of that for you. He said to them, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness and all of these other things will be added unto you. Take no thought about anything. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. No. What was occurring in the psalmist's mind as he prayed this, suddenly he broke out in the truth. All I've got to do is wait. Because my God will always come through. He said there in verse number 2 or 3, I forget which one it was. He said, but in this thing will I be confident. I've got confidence today that my God cannot be defeated. I have no idea what the world is going to do. Right? I have no idea which way it's going to go. I don't understand fully what's going on. But here's what I can tell you. If the judgment of God is at play right now and we are reaping the reward of our unrighteousness for the last 100 years, 50 years, here's what I can tell you. You can't stop that. But I can tell you what he is. He is faithful to me. He will never leave me. And that makes me just break out in praise and talk to myself a little while. Amen. I can rejoice knowing this truth that if I wait on the Lord and be of good courage, he will always, always come through. All right. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. The Apostle Paul thought he was doing the right thing that day when that woman kept following him around and said, behold, the men are the Most High God. Finally, he turned around and cast the devil out of the woman, and they ended up arresting him. Him and old Silas got put in jail, beat him, chained him up in the prison. That's what he gets for trying to be good. But there was something motivated them to keep praying and keep singing.
Right.
It sounded a whole lot like what was going on with the psalmist in 27, where he was praying a while and then suddenly he just said, well, I just prayed something I know he'll already do. I just prayed for something that he's already promised. I've just asked for something he's already declared. Amen. Well, sometimes we ought to just step back and thank him for the promise. I know we can't help but pray for it.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
You get your feet knocked out of you. Right. You'll pray. But here's what I can tell you. The one you're praying to, he's right there. He never left you. He's never forsaken you. He's always been right there. So the psalmist, as he concludes writing this, was similar to where Paul and Silas were. Along about midnight, they were praying and singing in that Philippian jail. They were just praying, singing. Suddenly the whole earth began to shake under that thing. The prison bars come open. The fetters and stocks fell off of every prisoner in there. All right, now I'm using my imagination, so don't go off and tell anybody this is truth. I thought in my mind, old Silas looking over at Paul said, I told you if we'd just wait. Let me be a friend to you right now. Let me be a pastor for just a minute. I want you to listen to me. Wait on God. Look at the last verse of number 14. What did he say? What did he say again? What was the last thing he said to him? Wait, I say. If you got doubt, you just hang on. Because there are some things I know about him. They will never fail. You just wait and be of good courage. Don't you give up now. No, wait on him. Wait on him. You say it's too late for... No, wait on him. Don't you give up. What David was saying was, in the midst of, he couldn't help but pray. And we can't help it either. I can't. It seems every day there's something new. Right. That I'm weeping before God over. And I believe he wants that. But there is also a point in my prayer. That faith meets truth. And it breaks out in praise. Because God has already promised me most of what I have. He's already declared what I need the most as His promise that will never fail. Therefore, he said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. What we preached on Sunday morning, what was that about? Fear. Right? And knowing that you and I needed to hear it again, he sent Bruce Sunday night to preach it again. That we should not fear what we can't see, what we don't know, what we don't understand. We shouldn't fear. What we should do is enter into that place of prayer with God. Honest enough, as the psalmist was, honest enough to say what was on our heart. But when we also recognize that it's truth and he has already promised it, let's just break out in praise. Right. Let's just talk to ourselves for a little while. He'd never leave you. He promised he wouldn't. He won't forsake you. Verse number 12. You might think you're going down, but just remember. Remember that time when, right? And you fill in the blank when you had a Goliath in front of you. And all you had was a few little rocks. And yet you chose to believe God and wait. Has anybody been there but me? You just wait.
Yep.
Partly because I'm so stupid, I don't know what to do.
Right.
I just wait.
Yep.
And the next thing I know, it just falls. And you know what that does? It just makes me want to say louder. Wait on the Lord, I say. Be of good courage. For our God will not fail.
Right. Amen.
He will not fail us. Regardless of what circumstances are going on outside. Those are all superficial elements and are conditions that will change by the moment. Right? You'll never be able to control that stuff. What I do have that is forever settled in the heavens will never,
right,
ever change.
Right. Amen.
Will never change. Pardon me if I just stand on what it says.
Yep. Amen.
And if they say that we're going to lock you up for that, then they'll just have to lock us up.
Yep.
I should have said me, but I don't think I'll be alone. How many rest of you going to stand with Jesus?
Amen.
You'll take me to go ahead.
Yep.
I've read tons of times when his own was in the jail. That ain't a big deal, right? Stone us. They'd grace for that. There's grace for that. That's what it said.
Yep.
Right? You read about them heroes of faith in the book of Hebrews. Stone sawn asunder, living in a cave, destitute, cold, all these different. Make no difference. Make no difference, you say? No, according to the Apostle Paul, he said they all died believing. They may take my life, but I will be believing. Wait on him. Wait on him. Be of good courage. There was a time I would have fainted, but I believed. I believed. And that hope delivered me. It rescued me. As the apostle said, I've been saved by that hope many times. What a wondrous truth hidden in the 27th Psalm. That when we get to pray in our heart and express in our fear and our concern to God, when we start believing the truth, we'll quit praying and go to thanking Him. Go to thanking Him. Come and get a song. I want you to go back with me now to the 6th verse. I wish I'd have had the forethought to ask David to put that one up on the board, but the 6th verse, there was the last part of that verse, if I remember it right, it said that David said, in his tabernacle I will offer thee, somebody read it for me. The sacrifices of joy. The sacrifices of joy. The Hebrew word for that term that was translated joy is shouting. Would you think about the truth in that statement now, if we just replaced joy with shouting. I will offer unto him the sacrifices of shouting. Let that sink in just a minute. Somebody that's shouting. Has done gave up on the normal. And have set in to being passionate about something that no longer matters, whether people watch them or don't watch them. They have entered into a place to where they are one-on-one. People used to shout. People, when they got happy, that's what we call it, when they got happy, they'd shout. David said, I bring to him in his tabernacle the sacrifice of my shouting. What he was trying to say was, as much as I could praise him, as loud as I could say, that's what I did. That's what I did. Wow, what a great truth. That's helped me all day long, all week long. Right in the middle of a prayer, he just kind of broke into declaring what he'd already knew. He was praying for it 1 minute, and next minute he was saying, well, you know that. He doesn't promise that. If your mom and daddy forsake you, he won't. Well, I'd have fainted if I didn't learn how to believe in him. When I had to walk down into that valley and look up at, I'd have fainted if I hadn't learned to believe in him. To believe that he could deliver those that were in need into the land of the living. So I reckon we ought to just wait on him. We just wait on him. Be of good courage till he shows up. Because here's what I can tell you. If he's not there yet, he's coming. He's coming. Boy, this would just go on and on, couldn't it? He's coming. Wait on him. Be of good courage. We've got a great deal, I believe, to be confident about. In a world, in a time, that is as most uncertain as I've ever seen it. I've made up my mind by the grace of God to live confident. Not in what's going on, but in who owns it all. I choose to believe Him. I choose to believe Jesus Christ. Sinkers win. He may not fix this in my generation. You say, how in the world can you say? Because I've read the book. He let them in wander in the wilderness 40 years till they all died out, and then he fixed it. Right? Remember that? I may be part of that lot. A man's got to mope around for the next 30 years while he cleans up the mess. But you'd preach this all night long. But I'm going to stop. Oh, this is it. There's an old man that turned 80 years old named Caleb. And he'd been walking around that blasted wilderness all those years saying, if we'd have just went in. But there's a day. There's a day. There's a day he walked up to Joshua. Moses dead. He walked up to Joshua and he said, hey. He said, I'm as ready now as I was then. He said, let's take this place. He said, for God's promised me an inheritance in this land. You're talking about a man that waited and was of good courage. 40 years he stood the test, just waiting. You know why, Jerry? Because he knew he'd go in. You say, what keeps you hanging on, preacher? I'm a going in one day. I'm a walking across Jordan and I'll go through the gate of the city. And then, Paul, I'll forever be there. There'll be no more hindrances. You just wait and be of good courage. We go on through the gate one day. See, because my reward, it ain't here. You might think all this while I've been talking about something getting better here. I'm talking about there.
Yep. Amen.
That's where my hope is anchored. It's behind the veil. I'm done. I'm excited. Because the everlasting part of this book, from the front to the back, lives in my soul. Shame on you if you've hung your harps up on the willows. Just because when you look out, it seems like it's a foreign country now. When you look out the window, it seems there's more evil than there is good. No. Sing it. Get that harp down off that willow. And quit looking outside. Start looking inside. Start praising Him. Wait on Him. Be of good courage. Our God won't fail. Can't lie. Can't fail. Can't miss. Be of good courage. God don't change. Nope. Stand with us. If you're here tonight and need Him, the altar's open. Maybe you need to pray this out. You're welcome to come.